It's time to soothe, groove, and move those hidden innuendos. Hello, and welcome to the program.
Hey, it's good.
All good, my friend. Hey, cheers to you, man. Really, cheers. Thank you for coming on tonight. Appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
This is actually goes in the record books that you are the third male guest on my podcast.
Woohoo. I'm never the first anyway. So it doesn't surprise me.
Hey, I don't care, man. First, second, third, you're here. That's all that matters. So I appreciate you nevertheless.
Thank you.
Of course. But it's funny because I was actually talking to a new guest and I was telling her about you. And when I mentioned, or when you actually told me that you've never been heartbroken before, whether or not you're gay or straight, heartbreak is a heartbreak, right?
Yep, 100%.
So how is it that you've never had a heartbreak before?
So I came out really, I'll say in my like late 20s, to my like family, to my friends. And I was always afraid before I came out to anyone I know, to get into any relationship. And by the time I was in my late 20s, I know what attracts me. And I was always thinking from like a long-term relationship point. So I know what I wanted. So I never wanted to settle with like someone that I know it's not going to work out. I didn't even try or pursue that relationship. And I was lucky enough to find a man when I was in New York, and I met him and we have been in relationship. The only relationship for me for like last 8 years now.
8 years. Okay.
8 years.
Okay.
Yeah. We have been together for 8 years and then married since May of 2022.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So I have to tell you, you know, it does take a lot of courage for men to really admit whether or not that they fell in love, fell out of love, and they've accepted that there's someone that did me wrong, right? For me, in that matter, it takes a lot of vulnerability for a man to accept that, right? To embrace to the world, I am a heartbroken person. I'm guilty of that. But as a gay man, do you see that a lot in the gay community where a lot of men are heartbroken when they get through or go through a heartbreak?
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's one of many emotions and everyone feels that emotion. I mean, I have a lot of gay men, straight men, even women from on the either side who have gone through the heartbroken, and I've seen them like cry their heart out. Like, why? You know, they will always question, why me? Why me? Or there are times where I've seen them like get themselves into like a lot of, you know, alcohol or get into like drinking and stuff.
So they turn to the bottle mechanism. Then. Yeah.
Kind of. Or it will end up in like a therapy or something like that. But it is true that regardless of your gender, regardless of your sexuality, heartbroken is a fact. And everyone has gone through it in some way or the other.
Yeah. But I'm just kind of curious why us men, right, gay or straight, it doesn't matter, why we have such a hard time of embracing that. Why we have such a hard time embracing humility and saying, yes, I got heartbroken. Like, so be it. But why do we have to show this machismo style where, oh, it doesn't bother me? Well, in fact, it does, right? Like, but I feel like it's just so hard for men to really just come out of their shell and accept that.
No, I agree. I think it stems from either cultural or societal expectation. Like from my experience, I come from an Asian family.
Yes.
I've never seen any men, not in just my direct family, but also like including my cousins or extended family, like any men express emotions. And if you do, they'll call you by names. Like I remember when I was a kid, I would express I would try to express my feelings, and the moment I do that, like not even my dad, but also like my mom and my sister and my brother, they'll be like, why are you acting like a girl? Just stop that nonsense. Like you're not supposed to cry and like just forget about it and move on. So I'm guessing it comes from the cultural and the societal expectation that a lot of men, they suffer all this emotion, they get all this feeling, but they are not able to emote it. You know what I mean?
When I was going through my heartbreak, when I told my mom and dad that I was, this girl broke my heart, for 1 week, they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. But then after that, they're like, no more talk about it. You got to move on. And it wasn't easy for a straight man with emotions to not feel that way, because I felt like there was more I needed to embrace. I needed to be heartbroken for a little bit longer. But for you, same thing. You know, that takes a lot of courage for you from, like you said, a very strict Asian family who didn't know, right? Because I'm assuming that you were the first gay member of your family, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so that couldn't have been easy for you. So tell me about that. When you told them that you are gay, what was their reaction?
Oh my God, where do I start? So before I get into that, let me just give you a background about my family. I am 7 of 8 kids. I have 6 older sisters, me, and then a younger brother. So it's, it was a lot coming out to individual people,
Yeah.
But to be honest, I came out to my friends first. I don't know why, before I came out to my family. But even within my family, I came out to my 6th sister first. So between me and my older sister is 15, 16 years age difference. So I came out to my 6th sister first and then to my brother. And my expectation was that my 6th sister would be okay with the fact me being gay or whatever. And my brother would question me a lot, or maybe being disappointed with me somehow. But it was the other way around. My brother was like, I don't care. And my sister was questioning me a lot. Even though my sister is a doctor, my 6th sister, she's a doctor. She's like, oh, I'll show you to a good therapist, or I'll show you to a good psychologist or psychiatrist or something. And I'm like, it's not a disease.
Yeah.
I'm fine. And then she's like, what about your life? And I'm like, what about it? I am happy, being who I am. And she was like, don't you want to be normal? And I'm like, what do you mean by normal? I am normal in whatever, whoever I am. And then she just stopped talking to me for a week or two. But then she came around, she was fine with it. And she was like, well, I don't care. She was like, I gave it a lot of thought. You're still my brother. I don't care who you are. I just want you to be happy. So if being gay makes you happy, then I'm happy for you. That's what she told me.
Right.
And then I came out to my mom not that long ago. I think it was, I still remember, it was a Labor Day weekend of 2021. So September, Labor Day weekend 2021. I was just sitting on my couch drinking coffee and I don't know what got into me. And I was like, I'm going to pick up my phone, call her and just come out to her. Nothing was planned. I don't know what happened. I just picked up my call of my phone, called her. And I'm like, Mom, I need to tell you something. And there was a long pause. And she was like, what happened? What's wrong? Are you secretly married to someone and you never told me? And blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, I'm not, but I'm in a relationship, but it's a different type of relationship. So I kind of told her, what does being gay means? What does even being homosexual means? Because she doesn't know what does, the term gay or homosexuality does not exist in my family, but also not just in my family. I'm originally from India.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of people want to talk about homosexuality or being gay or whatnot. And I was expecting the worst thing that could ever happen when I was on call with my mom. I was like, okay, this is the time she's gonna disown me. But it was weird. And that was, to be honest, that was also the longest call I've ever had with my mom. It went for an hour. There was no crying, there was no yelling, there was no cursing, and I was expecting everything like that to happen. And she's like, okay, as long as you're happy, I'm fine. And then she started asking me about, so my husband's name is Joshua. So she started asking me about Joshua, what does he do? What does he look like? Send me pictures and et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, well, she is a lot more progressive than I thought. So fast forward 1 year after that, I was visiting my family. And that's when everything like kind of broke. She started crying. She started yelling. Like when I was there.
She was yelling at you?
At me, like yelling at me, cursing at me. And then also like saying things like, why didn't you just die?
Was Joshua with you?
No. He wasn't there. And then she was like questioning why you and why not somebody else. And I'm like, I don't have any answer to any of that questions. But all I can tell you is this is who I am. And I'm happy, you know, being who I am, being with Joshua. He makes me happy. Mm. You know, we make a good couple. But she, like in her, not just in her mind, but a lot of, you know, Indian family, when you are the oldest son or, you know, or any number of sons, they always have a dream about, you know, getting a certain bride for you. She's like, you shattered all of my dreams and et cetera, et cetera. So that was hard in person. And I was like, everything is going to be fine. So she did do some like, I don't know how to explain, like an Indian ritual with like Indian God. She took me to the temple, assuming that if she does all these rituals, God might turn me straight. And I told my mom, you're just wasting your money. It's not going to happen.
She was trying to change you. She was trying to convert you to being a straight man.
Yeah. And
how'd that make you feel, if you mind me asking?
I mean, I was kind of upset. I was kind of embarrassed and also angry.
Yeah.
To be honest. So after, like, I didn't tell her anything because it happened in front of a lot of people while she was doing all the, you know, the rituals for me. So I didn't want it to be like disrespectful to her in front of, you know, everyone. So once that was over, I called my mom, not called my mom aside so we can just talk one-on-one kind of thing. And I told her about how I felt about all of this, you know, bullshit that she was doing. And pardon my language. I don't know if I'm allowed to.
You can cuss. Yeah, you're okay. Good.
So I told her, like, I didn't appreciate any of this. I told her I thought that you were okay with me coming out to you. Like if I knew that this is how you would react, I would have never come out to you. I would just hide in secret and live my other life, my other happy life in the States, and then just pretend to be someone else while I'm visiting you guys. And she's like, no, this is okay. This is normal. I mean, this is fine. You don't have to think too much about it. This is also like, Asian parents can be savage, to be honest.
Sure.
But now she's fine. Like whenever I call her, she would ask me about Joshua. So it took her a while. When I say while, more than a year or 2 years, I would say, or 1.5 years, to like come around and be okay with it. Well, but the story is she's still disappointed in me, to be honest. She doesn't say it, but you can sense it.
Yeah.
You know?
So. And during that time that you guys were not, during the time of the year and a half, I'm assuming you both were still in communication with each other, correct?
Me and my mom, yeah. But it would be like, okay, no one was noticing the elephant in the room. Like she knew, but she would never acknowledge the fact, like she would ignore that conversation. So every time I would try to bring that conversation on my call with her, either she would just hang up or be like, let's talk something else, you know?
And what about your dad? So, is your dad in the picture?
Not out to him yet. my relationship with my dad is, I don't know, it's kind of weird. I only talk to him when I'm visiting India to see my family. But once I'm here or like anywhere else, I hardly talk to him. I mean, I've made a lot of effort to kind of improve that relationship with my dad, but every single I try, I just get this feeling that he's just not interested. to have that relationship with me. And I wanted to come out to him, but every single family member of mine, they were against coming out to my dad because my dad loves drama.
He loves drama.
Okay. He loves drama. So everyone was like, if you come out to him, he would just tell every single, not just like in the immediate family, but like, not immediate family, but like extended family,
yeah,
and his friends and everyone else. And I'm like,
he would have turned into a good thing. He would be casting spells saying, my son is gay. My son is gay.
Yeah, but not in a good way though.
Right, right.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't care. But my family was like, well, you don't have to live with him because you live in the States. We'll have to go through all the situation if he does that kind of a drama, you know what I mean? So I accepted their what they told me to do, and then I never came out to my dad. And also, like, he never questions me, he never calls me, so, and I'm fine with that.
Has your relationship with your dad always been like that? Like, when you were younger, did you have a good relationship with him?
No. To be honest, like, if you tell me to think of a moment where, like, the most memorable moment I had with my dad, I am not able to find. Like, there were times, I don't know how deep I can go in this conversation, but there were times where I felt like I was just an expense in his balance, in his income statement or in his balance sheet or whatever. Like, he would tell me, you know, when I was a kid, he would take me to, like, see doctors when I was sick and something like that. And then once we were done, he would tell me, okay, this is how much he spent on the doctor because of me. And I wouldn't know how to react for that on that kind of a thing.
He told you this when you were younger?
Mm-hmm. When I was younger, as in preteen or early teens, I wasn't even making money, you know?
You were young, yeah. You're probably like, what do you mean, Dad? What does that mean?
And I don't know. So from that incident, like every single time I got sick or I had to go to a doctor, I would hesitate to even ask somebody to, like, can we just go to a doctor? Because I was like, well, I don't want to be a financial burden on anyone.
Oh, man.
So,
if you mind me asking, now with Joshua in the picture, he sounds like a great guy, and you seem so happy when you talk about him, which I'm so glad for you, man. I really am.
Thank you.
Have you mentioned this to Joshua? And what's his reaction when he hears that your family doesn't have your support?
I mean, he understands that there is a cultural barrier or a cultural difference. I mean, obviously, when I told him the first time, he didn't understand. He was like, why is your family acting like this? Like, you are their son or their brother, or you know, they should be fine with it. And I'm like, well, not every family is like your family. His family was very acceptable, you know.
Is his family question. Is he from India?
No, he's from Michigan.
Michigan, okay.
Yeah, he's a white American dude. Yeah, he's from Michigan. His family was very okay with him coming out. I mean, no question asked. His parents had some doubts, but they never, like, confront him and be like, okay, just come out to us and something like that, you know?
Yeah.
But no, coming back to your original question, yeah, it took him a while to understand the cultural difference, the cultural, the barrier kind of thing, and why my family is reacting differently than what he originally expected them to be. But fun fact, he never met them. Because I have asked him many times to come and visit them, obviously after I came out to all of them, you know, to see my family, but he never did, because he was always afraid, what if he will get treated the way they treated me, you know?
Yeah.
So.
I wish your sisters and your brother stepped up for you, you know, like, I wish they could have said, you know what, we support Hitesh, he's our brother. You know, and my heart goes out to you, man, because if you don't mind me telling you, my first cousin, he is like my brother. I've always loved him, and I knew deep down inside that he is gay. And when I found out, when I actually ran into him at a supermarket with his boyfriend at the time, who is now his husband, my heart just opened up tenfold, because just to see him happy, right? Just to see him so happy and introduce me to his future husband was such a great honor. And the fact that I was the only family member that got invited to the wedding in Australia, you know, I got very emotional, because who gives, I'm sorry to say, but you know, that's bullshit.
Right.
You know, if my son came up to me and said, "Dad, I'm gay." That's fine. Congratulations. I'm happy for you. I'm right behind you. He's my son. It's his life. It's his decision. It's how he feels. And man, I'm telling you, man, I wish I could have been there for you, bro, because I would have definitely stepped up to the plate to help you out any way I could, man. And I mean that, you know?
Oh, no. I appreciate
Shit's not
that.
Easy,
thank
bro.
You.
That shit's not easy. And I really, really commemorate you for that.
Oh, thank you. No, I appreciate that. Maybe I think it's cause of all those experiences, not just me coming out story, but also my childhood, you know, dealing with all those emotions with my dad, with my, you know, family members. I think I sort of developed a strong emotional dependence, or strong emotion, or I don't know, strong emotional personality.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there are times I'm very straightforward when I'm like talking to anyone, or like communication is like a key for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm very straightforward. I don't sugarcoat things sometimes, which has its own pros and cons. So sometimes, you know, if I'm talking to someone who doesn't know me, I might come out as a standoffish kind of a person, which I'm not, but.
You've got a wall, you got a barrier.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's very valid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if you don't mind me asking, because did you mention that you were married before Joshua?
No.
No. Okay. So Joshua was your primary guy. And how long you guys been dating for?
Since 20, well, May of 2016.
Okay.
Yeah. I can tell you the story how we met.
I would love to hear that.
So I moved to the States in 2014. For my college, I went to UW-Madison, graduated in December 2015, and then I got a job in New York 2016. So I moved to New York in April 2016, and a month later, I met him. And then we have been together ever since.
Oh my.
And every single time I tell this story to my other single friends, and they're like, "How dare you tell this to us? We have been single all of our life."
You did it. You did what a lot of people currently can't accomplish. I can't tell you how hard it is to find true love, let alone for people to actually go on a second date together. It's so hard to really find what you have. And that's beautiful, man. That's so beautiful. Thank you. And I think that you had to go through a very rough childhood. And, you know, have those types of parents who are very, very strong-minded and thought that there's something wrong with you. But you got where you're at now, and that's the ultimate happiness. You know, like when you just said Joshua, your eyes glowed, man. See? Everything else is irrelevant, right?
Yep.
Mom, dad, yeah, I love my parents. I love my siblings. But this guy that you mentioned, he's the one that lifts you up. And he will carry you whenever you need that. And I think that's so rare these days, man. I have to say, I'm a little envious. Maybe I should be gay.
but I would say, though, like when I was single, I had this, I don't know how strongly do you believe in affirmations?
Oh.
Like I have affirmations for every single thing. Like if I have a goal that I want to achieve, until I achieve that goal, I have this affirmation that I will enchant like every single day multiple times. So when I was single and I knew that I was ready to find someone, I had an affirmation that I would say to myself every single day multiple times that I would meet the love of my life. Not just that, but also by so-and-so year, by end of so-and-so year, and also the qualities I want. I think putting that out in the universe helped me in some way, I guess.
Yeah.
If you believe in all that.
I do. And I think a lot of my listeners do as well, is that the power of broadcasting to the universe. This is who I want to attract in my life. This is who I want to be with. Yep. It may not be tomorrow, but you just got to keep continuing. How long did it take you? Like you mentioned, you've been doing revitalizing the words of affirmation. How long did it take you to finally get where you're at now?
I didn't. Oh, you mean finding Joshua or?
Yeah, because you mentioned that you were, you know, pretty much praying every night, right? You're praying, you're trying to let the universe know this is what I need, right?
Right. So to find Joshua, I think maybe a year and a half.
Year and a half. Okay.
It wasn't that. I mean, because the thing is, because it's not just saying the affirmations, you have to believe in that too. It's that energy that you are enchanting or like putting it out in the universe. You have to believe in your affirmation as well. That makes a lot more difference versus just saying out things without having belief. You know?
Can you describe that? How would you make the difference between those two?
So I think your affirmation needs to be achievable. Like there's a difference between an achievable affirmation and just being delusional.
I don't know. Careful now, I have listeners here.
I mean, it cannot be your affirmation. I mean, so my affirmation was like, okay, I would meet the love of my life with so-and-so quality by end of, let's say by end of year 2016. I don't know what year I chose back then, but let's say end of year 2016.
Okay.
And when I said that, I would pay attention to how I was feeling while I was enchanting. Like, was it positive? Was I positive? How was my energy? How was my body language? If everything was aligned, I know that I do believe in that. But also, when I said when I wanted to find the love of my life, how dedicated I was to that goal. Like, do I absolutely want the love of my life? Or do I just want it to because I'm bored being alone and that's why just to kill my time or, you know, have someone by my side? You know what I mean? So my affirmation was to have the love of my life for the rest of my life.
Got it.
And not just to like kill time.
Yeah. And did you do anything differently? Did you do anything differently with yourself? Or did you just keep saying, this is who I am. I'm going to keep every day. I'm going to do the same Hitesh day in, day out. And if someone attracts me, great. If not, that's okay. There's always tomorrow.
I don't think I changed anything. I mean, that sounds weird, though, right?
It's not weird.
I mean, from no, I don't think I changed anything. Besides, like when I would go on a date, like I would make sense what I was wearing. But besides that, nothing else. I mean, I'm more of like a t-shirt and a pajama kind of a person. And then, you know, dressing up for a date sounded so much weird for me.
Were you in PJs when you met Joshua?
No, he was in, sweatshirt and a sweatpants. And I was in a blazer.
Okay.
So here was the thing. When I first saw him, I was like, I don't think this is going to work out.
Why'd you say that?
I don't know, because maybe I was just being judgy, because I put in a lot of effort to, you know, like the first appearance, you know, a lot of people, your first impression is the last impression kind of a thing. So I did put a lot of effort for the date, and then seeing him come in like a sweatpants and a sweatshirt, and I was like, is he even serious? Or for him, is it like, okay, I'm bored. Let's just have dinner. Let's just eat and go back home. but the date went well. I mean, barring all those, you know, the dress, and also I didn't like his hair.
Did you tell him that?
Not on the first date.
Not the first date. Okay.
That would be rude if I did on the first date. But after like a couple of dates, when I kind of, you know, was easy around him, and I told him. And he started laughing.
Do you believe that to be true, though? Because you just mentioned that on the first date, he really wasn't dressing to impress. Do you believe that to be true, where if it's you only have one shot on the first date. And if something goes wrong, if you don't look the part, if you don't say the right things, you're dead in the water. Do you believe that to be true? Or do you think that everyone deserves to have a second chance, regardless if the first date wasn't what you expected?
I mean, that is 100% true. But I would say if the first date was disaster, like, you know, the worst possible scenario you can imagine, then no. But to your point, yeah, everyone do deserve a second chance. Like, if something went well in the first date, you know, forget the appearance or forget anything else. If you had a good conversation, for me at least, if I had a good conversation with someone else, I would definitely want to continue. For me, like I said, I mean, look is fine. I'm not, to be honest, I'm not that attracted to your appearance or to your look as much as I am to your knowledge and to your communication. That's more important. Because with time, I mean, beauty fades.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I hope not.
Well, that is true, though.
Yeah. But do you believe in the energy? Do you? Because I hear that a lot. When I was in Miami, I heard people say, you've got amazing energy, right? And I just happened to walk into the room, like I didn't really do anything. Do you believe that to be true, where people can actually feel this amazing kinetic energy the moment you walk in the door? They're like, oh my gosh, this person is someone I really need to talk to.
Well, like with me in general or just the concept?
Just the concept. Well, you too, man. You're a good looking cat. I gotta say, man.
Well, thank you. No, but I do agree with feeling the energy. I mean, it attracts, you know, like opposite magnetic energy attracts. So yeah.
I know.
But I would also say, well, it comes with positive and negative. You can also attract, you know, good folks who can also attract bad folks. So for example, like if you have a hypothetical example or whatever you want to call it, like if you have a lot of money, you know, people would want to be friends with you regardless of their intention, if they have a good intention or a bad intention, you know.
Wait, so you're saying that money, money
just obviously... an example.
Oh, just an example. Okay.
Like I'm using money as a metaphor for energy here. If that makes sense, I don't know.
Yeah. You know what's funny is that I never tell women, I never actually even talk about money with women at all when I go on dates, because I feel like that's just, it's tertiary discussion later down the road, right? Because the whole, for me, I think the whole point of the first and hopefully second date is to see, is this person really worth my time? Like, can I really tolerate this person on my free time, right? Can we enjoy each other's silences together? That's what I think. But like I said, it's so hard.
Oh, I agree with that. Like, I mean, you need someone you can talk to instead of, you know, just wasting your time.
You'd be surprised how many dates, how many women just want to go out and just have a drink and expect the guy. And I don't mean this in a bad way. But they're trying to fill in the gaps, right? They want to fill in that space because they're just bored. They're bored to death where they're just like, this guy's going to take me out for a drink. No worries. I have no expectations. At least I'm getting a couple free drinks on a Monday night. Yeah. You know, is that the same way in the gay community where, is that right? Is that very, very similar?
That is very similar. I mean, again, everyone is human. It's the same. It's a normal human behavior, I would say. But I would say though that this kind of behavior also comes because, I mean, this person might have been on like many, many dates before and just gave up their hopes and be like, okay, let's just go have a drink, have dinner, free dinner or whatever, and just be done with it. So it could be just that.
How would you tell a gay man? Let's just say if a young lad came up to you and said, Hitesh, you know, what do I do? You know, what do I do on my first date? I got a date with this guy. Would you say the same things? Let's say, hey, go have a drink and have fun. Or would you just tell them, hey, go in there with zero expectations, right? Because I feel like that's the case, is where everyone is thinking, this is going to be my first last date. And I don't think that that's the right mentality now, because you're setting yourself up for huge disappointment.
Yeah.
So my motto is, go in as a date, but don't think of it as a date. Go in there just knowing, asking some questions, get to know that person, have a drink, and not think of anything sexual, right?
Right. I agree on going on a date with a zero expectation, but also like thinking of this as, you know, you're going to meet someone that you are going to have conversation. Doesn't have to be like a question answer format, just a normal conversation. But I would also choose a place where you are able to listen to each other versus going to like a club or a pub on your first date, because then there is just no real conversation. It's just dancing, or maybe you have a lot more drink and then you end up hooking up and then that's it. So like choosing a place where you can actually listen and have a good conversation is also like a key. I cannot tell you a time when I used to go on a date and if the other guy would suggest me, oh, let's go to a pub, let's go to a bar or a movie hall. And that's just a big no-no for me. And I'm like, oh, I'm done.
So tell me, if you were single again, where would you expect your first date to go instead of the clubs and drinking?
Like, it doesn't have to be fancy. All I want is just to have a conversation with you and get to know you a little bit better. Nobody needs to spend a fortune on that first date, you know?
Yeah, a lot of guys do. A lot of guys feel like they have to. Because, like I said, they're putting so much pressure on themselves and on that other person. Like, I got to take this girl to a really fancy dinner and drinks so that way I can get laid tonight. You know, that's not the case. And I feel like I hear these stories from women saying, this guy was a loser. This guy treated me like shit because I wouldn't give him head on a first date.
Yeah, so those guys are jerks.
Right?
Like if you come on a first date with that kind of an expectation, then I'm sorry, then you don't deserve a second chance here.
Yeah.
In this case. But I would also add to that point, like on your first date, just be you. Because if you pretend to be like this fancy person or this fun person, how long can you pretend? You know, if you want to continue with this person, just being pretentious, how long will it last? Like at some point, the other person will know, okay, this is not real you. And then that's the end of story.
Let's say if a man comes up to you right now and says, Hitesh, I'm gay, but I haven't told my parents yet. What would be the advice that you would give him on how to confront his family?
I'll be very honest with this man, that don't feel pressured that you have to come out to your parents. Like at this moment, you will know when the time is right. So don't feel pressured. Because that pressure kills you. I've been through that for many, many, many years. And it was like killing me. Like lying to my parents every single day was just killing me. And then I will also introduce him to my other, you know, Asian friends so they can motivate him, kind of. Like I would build a support system for him rather than like, you know, forcing him or putting pressure on him to like come out to his parents.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And did you, I'm not sure if we told you this, but did you have a support system as well when you were deciding to come out? You no, didn't?
Not at all. Not at all. When I came out to one of my friends, I texted him instead of calling. Like, I didn't have courage to come out to my friends in person or on call, so I would just text them. And in my text, I would apologize, saying that I'm so sorry to being gay. And I would be, you know, if you, like, after you get this message, and if you don't want to be my friend, I understand, and I'm really sorry, and blah, blah, blah. This is how I would text them. And one of my friends told me, dude, why are you being so apologetic? I don't fucking care about you're gay or not. Stop being this apologetic person. And it just clicked me. And I'm like, you're right. I don't know. Why was I apologizing to these people? Like, yeah. If they want to continue being my friends, fine. If they don't, then that's their problem. It's none of my business, you know.
How many friends decided not to be your friend after you told them that?
Most of my friends from India, from like my high school and undergrad, they just decided not to have any any relationship with me whatsoever. And one of my good friend, like back in the time, also moved to the States like a couple of years ago. And I thought he was okay. So I met him last year, because it's been a while. And then when I was at his house, he lives in Seattle. He was like, dude, I think I'm still going to take some time to like grasp the fact about you. And I'm like, okay, that's your problem. I was very honest with him. That was new me though. If it was old me, I would be like, oh, I know, I'm so sorry for putting you in through all this, you know, situation and blah, blah, blah.
You don't have much to be sorry about, man. Like you said, it's not a disease. This is who you are. And
right.
I mean, I'm telling you this truthfully. If you were my friend, if I knew you back then and you told me I'm gay, I would have been, dude, I love you, man. I'm here for you. What can I do to help? I'll be your wingman. Let's go find some dudes for you, you know?
Oh, thanks. Yeah, where were you then?
Hey, I'm here now. And,
yeah,
you know, I know you have, you have six sisters and one brother, right?
Yep.
Well, I hope you have another new brother now, dude.
Oh, thank you. Yep. Well, I will text you my number so after this.
I love you, man. Hey. Much love for you. I gotta say, dude, and I mean that again, you know, it takes a lot of courage for you to do what you did. And I'm so happy for you. Even though I just met you, man, I'm really happy for you and Joshua. I hope Joshua, you know, one day I would love to have you and Joshua come because I would love to hear his story. Yeah, I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would love that too.
We should definitely make that happen. We'll work on that. I have to ask you this as my closeout question here. I'm actually going to tweak this up a little bit. If there is a song that you listen to or where you listen to during the time of questioning whether or not or when you should really come out, what's the name of that song and what genre?
I listen to a lot of like Indian music, to be honest. Like old 60s, 70s, like classical, semi-classical music, because I grew up listening to those kind of music.
Sure.
But to be honest, there isn't one particular song that I listen to. There are just so many. Depends on my mood, I would say.
Of course. You know?
Like there's this late singer. Her name is Lata Mangeshkar. She died last year. She kept singing. Well, she died when she was, I think, like early 90s. She kept singing until she was like 88. And her voice still sounded like she was 14.
Wow.
And I still do listen to her songs. It just hits you differently. You know, it just hits your heart when you listen to that song.
Do you have like a name of a song that you can tell me?
Sure. It's called Tere Bina Zindagi Se Koi. It's like, it's kind of like a, it's an emotional song about this couple who were in love when they were young. But, you know, life happened.
Yeah.
And they ended up separating and getting married to, you know, different people. But they still have the feeling. So this song comes into the movie when they see each other after a long time. And then all their old memories, you know, it's just a flashback for them. And then the song comes out.
Oh, that's beautiful. Hey, Tesh, man, like I said, I'm so, so honored to have you here, man. And you got another brother here, man. Like, honestly, anything I can do, anytime you ever want to talk, and I'm going to get you and Joshua on the show as well.
We should be the first couple, Sherwin, on that case.
Done. That's it. It's done.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
Deal, my friend. Hey, man.
Okay.
Much love for you, my new friend.